Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Mary's Abbey is where one of our listeners was walking. I think they were going to Cable Street or coming from Cable Street in Dublin, and they looked in a shop window, and he sent us a photograph of a shop window in Mary's Abbey. And there's a photograph of Donald Trump in the window. I think it's a poster of some such. And there is a whole tray and display of Nazi memorabilia. And our listener was shocked and asked us to raise it with the owner of the shop. And the owner of the shop is on the line now. His name is Shugalia Vladimir. Shugalia, good afternoon.
Vladimir. My name is Vladimir.
Okay. What's your first name?
Like Vladimir Lenin and Vladimir Putin, you know.
And is that your first name?
Yes, my first name is Vladimir.
Okay.
Shugalia is my surname.
Okay, that's the way it was given to me. Okay, Vladimir, how are you?
Not too bad.
That's
thank you.
Good. How long have you been running the shop?
7 years.
Okay, and what's the name of the shop?
It's called Second Abbey.
Second Abbey.
Yes. Mary's Abbey.
And so what Nazi memorabilia have you got in the window?
We only have a small patch, like we have 5 or 6 badges. That's it. We don't have any other stuff.
Okay, and how long have you had
them?
How long have you had them in the window, Vladimir?
We have them for a while, yeah, for a few years, I would say, yeah.
And have you ever sold any of them?
Of course, yes.
And where do you get them?
I'm originally from Ukraine, so every time I travel there, I bring a few of them.
So are they original Nazis?
No, they're all copies. No, originals would be very expensive, and I sell only copies of them.
And who do you have you any idea who buys them, Vladimir?
There are a lot of collectors, I would say, probably a few weirdos, but most of them are well-represented middle-aged men who collect any military memorabilia, not only Nazi, but Soviet, and British and Irish, and, you know, they would like to have a few German medals in their collection.
And is it true you have a copy of Mein Kampf for sale?
It's not a copy, it's original thing.
Original?
Printed in 1938, yeah. Translated in English. Yeah.
You have an English translation of Mein Kampf for sale?
Yes, yes.
And how much is that selling for?
It's, I'm looking for 150 euros.
So you've just a single...
It's quite common, it's not a rare edition or something. It's
But it is banned in many countries, isn't it?
In many countries, but not in Ireland, as far as I know.
And Nazi memorabilia is banned in a number of countries.
In a number of countries, but not in Ireland again. Yeah, and I know that in the last few years there were a few big auctions, auction sales in Dublin with original Nazi memorabilia, you know.
And in Ukraine, is it? Because Ukraine had a...
We had the history. Yeah, I know
the Second World War.
It's allowed in Ukraine as well. It's legal to sell that stuff in Ukraine. Yeah.
And Vladimir, would your family? Surely you know people in Ukraine. Given what happened in the Second World War, surely you know people in Ukraine on both sides. Those who collaborated with the Nazis and those who opposed the Nazis.
Yeah. The history is very complicated in that part of the world because. Some people supported Nazis because they were hoping that Nazis will give independence to Ukraine, but in return and then other people who were fighting Nazis. But what I find interesting that many customers don't complain about, like Soviet memorabilia, for example. I have a lot of Soviet stuff as well, like flags and medals. But Soviet communism killed millions of their own people, like in Gulag and Siberia, wherever, you know. During Second World War, they used people like, you know, like a meat throwing at the guns, no weapons. And so I find it strange that people find it offensive to sell Nazi memorabilia, but they never find offensive when I sell red flags or something.
Yeah, but it's primarily because of the Holocaust.
Yeah, but Soviet Stalin, he did this same, maybe different way of killing, but he was killing millions of his own people, you know. if you read history, you'll
find I suspect you know a lot more history than I do, Vladimir, but the thing about the Holocaust was they rounded up a particular religion. And you were murdered because of your religion, nothing else.
No, but in concentration camps, if you read history, I'm not defending. I'm just defending something.
No,
I'm just saying in concentration camps there were a lot of prisoners of war, Soviets, I don't know, Polish. Not only there were most of them, 90% were Jewish, of course, I know that, but there were a lot of other people as well, you know. But I'm not defending. I'm just saying. I find it interesting that people not offended. They need to read more history about communism. How bad, like China communism. They killed.
I know, and the famine, well, and the famine, and the famine in China. Was,
famine, yeah. In Ukraine, actually,
the
we had a famine.
Yeah,
we had the famine. Yeah. The hand created famine by Stalin in 1930s.
Yeah, and Applebaum has written an incredible book about it. And it's jaw dropping the number of people who died.
My grandmother was she grew up in the family. She was orphan. Her mother died because of hunger, you know. And mm-hmm. so we in that part of the world we know the history very well, and we I hope we learn the lessons as well.
Have other people said it to you before? Why are you selling Nazi memorabilia?
Once in a while, I would say once a year. Sometimes German tourists, they find it because in Germany it's not allowed to sell, and they find it, they're surprised, kind of, you know.
And what do they say to you? Can you remember?
Same as you just said to me, that Nazis, they, you know. But I'm just saying, people from movie productions, theater, they buy these things and they use them in the movies. And, you know, you watch Hollywood movies with Brad Pitt, for example, Inglourious Basterds or some, and you find it offensive to watch it. Like, there's a lot of flags and medals and, you know, it's part of the history. You can't really delete the history, or you need to learn from that.
And the Mein Kampf, where did you get that edition?
A friend of mine, he gave it to me. He's Irish guy, but he got it in one of the auctions in Dublin, you know.
Okay, and how much did he pay for it?
He gave it to me to sell it for him, you know. But he originally purchased that in the auction in Dublin.
Okay, 1857, 15815. What else have you got in the shop, Vladimir? What else? Any other unusual?
Bric-a-brac. Mostly we sell bric-a-brac. We like second-hand antique shop. We have some clothes, some pictures, paintings, some silverware, different things. Yeah.
And where did you ever find something unique or more valuable than you thought it was?
I wish. I only started doing that 7 years ago. I had a few nice things, but nothing major yet. Maybe one day I will find something valuable. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sandro.
Not easy.
Okay, stay with us. Sandro Cofola is, he's been on this program before, but I didn't know Sandro because I always imagined I always knew your background was Italian, but I didn't know your father was in a concentration camp.
Hiya, Joe. Yeah. Hiya. Happy Christmas to you.
You too, many more. But your father was in a concentration camp.
Yeah, and a lot of Italians in southern Italy were royalists, sort of king against the Nazis, and Mussolini was the first Nazi, really. Before Hitler, and he pushed the northern Italians down south, and they didn't like it. So during the war, the southern Italians, a lot of them joined the resistance and rebelled, and my father's family were in the resistance and associated with it, and with Charles Forte, who was, his brothers were shot that day, the week my father was captured by the Nazis, and he ended up in Auschwitz for 6 weeks, and then Dachau. And you ended up somewhere else, which we're trying to find. We always thought it was Rosenberg, but it's not. There is a female German camp with an R in it, but there was no other German camp with an R. But we had this thing that with an R was worn. We couldn't really work out the date. And I'm not offended personally by Nazi medals, especially if they're imitation, all the better. Fair play to them if they're imitation. I agree with them. They're bought for all sorts of things, costumes and even history, just to bring them into the classroom and show people. And, you know, the swastika is a very ancient symbol. It's not just owned by the Nazis. There's loads of people use the swastika all over the world. So,
would you say in your contribution, was it your father used to challenge people who drove Volkswagen.
Yeah, well, when he was captured, one of the things they did was put him into... No, he wasn't in the army, so he was punished. They weren't prisoners of war. They went to punishment camps. And you have to be very clear about this. I don't know the figures of the Jewish that were rounded up by the Nazis, but certainly lots of others were as well. And if it was 10%, that's still 600,000 people. So it's a huge figure. All over Europe, people were brought in. And the punishment camp was Dachau. You had to walk down the Golden Mile, where they pissed on you and they peed on you and they spat on you from the balconies and they threw stones at you and they called you every name on the sun. That was your introduction to Dachau. But when he was there for a year and a half before he escaped, but what he did in Germany was he was attached to a Volkswagen machine making bullets. And the Nazis in the Volkswagen factory, and the Nazis would come every morning and say to him, "We're making the bullets to kill your brothers and sisters in southern Italy." So they fed him bread and water. He faked his death. But you asked me like about the punishment. Yeah, he used to go out every day when there was a new Volkswagen boss in Dublin, in Glenageary, where he lived, and he would say to the neighbours, "That's a lovely new car. Do you know I was chained to that factory, that very factory? I was chained to a machine, and how dare you buy that? It's an insult to me." But sure, they didn't know.
And what was he doing? Was he making cars in the factory?
No, he was making bullets, Joe, because the bullets as I said, the Nazis would say to him every morning, "The bullets are made to kill your brothers and sisters in Italy."
Wow.
So there was lots of people put to work in the war and punishment. They were fed bread and milk. He lived to 92, Joe. He died in 2012, a week in the hospital. I brought him home to see his mum, who was in a home, and he died that night in the home with her. He had cancer at 92. But that was a great old age for a man who was born in 1921 and went through the war, you know.
Okay. Tom Crowe was on the line. Tom.
Hi, Joe. Interesting discussion underway. I don't know why we reserve our worst opprobrium in the West for Nazism and for the crimes of Nazis. They didn't have a monopoly on it. An awful lot went on in the 20th century. You may have been discussing that when I was waiting to come on the air. But what happened in China under Mao, what happened
the famine,
Stalin, Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. And it's remarkable, we have a chain of restaurants in Dublin called Mao, which is plainly called after Mao Zedong. And I thought he was quite brutal until I heard a Radio 4 program recently. He's double as brutal as I thought he was. Horrendous man. Probably directly responsible for the death of upwards of
50 million because of the famine.
Yes,
the famine and then the lunacy thereafter.
Yes. So, you know.
And what are you saying? To call a restaurant chain Mao is like calling a restaurant chain or an ice cream shop
Hitler or Stalin. Yeah. Now, it bothers me only so much. But if we're going to get offended by one nihilist and one atrocious person in the 20th century, let's get offended by them all, you know.
And would you, Tom? Well, again, it's a discussion, but. And I know it's like I'm reading, what was it, the New York Times yesterday morning about all the number of people that are, I know it's just a conversation we're having. Okay, let's not lose the run of ourselves. But the number of people that Trump is, well, I'm talking about the number of people who died from the virus, but the number of people who are on death row and he's between poisoning execution squads and the electric chair, there's going to be a significant number of them killed between now and January the 20th.
Luckily, like the medals, Joe, Trump is history. So we have to deal with it like history.
And well, what do you think of a Trump hotel in Ireland?
Ah, Joe, stall
no,
the
I'm
ball
a, I'm a, okay, exactly. Come in, Tom. Yes, that's what it's about.
We might disagree with the death penalty. I certainly do. But the least we can hope for is a vast, vast majority of those are guilty of brutal murder.
And your argument, when you mentioned Mao, Tom, the Mao restaurant chain, and they did really well, I think. Well, thankfully, any takeaway did well in the awful pandemic. It's a well-known chain, but are you saying they should change their name?
Well, if we're not going to allow shops to sell Mein Kampf, then yes.
But we do allow shops to sell Mein Kampf.
Then just leave it be and put it all down to historical curiosity. But I'm a little more offended by the restaurant celebrating the name rather than saying here's a restaurant, and here's a picture of one of the most brutal men in history. Like, you know, it'd be good if they put up a picture to say that, but they can't because it destroys the marketing of their restaurant.
And did someone say, I can't read it properly there, Fergus, did someone say Mein Kampf is on sale in Easons? Sorry, I can't read it. Okay. Vladimir, are you busy in the shop?
Oh, yeah, before Christmas, yes, we are.
Oh, great, okay. And you know the history of where you're standing, that part of Dublin was Mrs. Mary's Abbey, and it was at the back there.
I'm like a tourist guide sometimes because American and foreign tourists ask me, where is this church? Because they can't really find it.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
expect like a huge church there, no. but there's a very small piece left.
Yeah, it's hidden. It's hidden. And it was hidden up to the start of the 20th century when it was accidentally discovered, hidden in a bakery, the original chapter house from St. Mary's Abbey, which gave us Dublin. Sandro, have you come across in Ireland before? Now, I know there have been a couple of auctions, but have you come across Nazi memorabilia for sale?
I've seen a lot of memorabilia. I collect old tools and stuff for gardening and go around because we still use them, but I'm always poking my nose into antique shops and I see a lot of different things. Joe, from a pants, someone who's out as a wild crafter going around the hedgerows of Ireland picking seeds, I sort of feel I'm a bit like the middle-aged witches that went around. You know, the herbalists, they were all persecuted by the Catholic Church, Joe. 6 million women were killed in Europe in the Middle Ages by the Church. Now, I won't say the Catholic Church because it wasn't so formed that way. It was more Spanish Inquisition and the French Inquisition. There was a German Inquisition, an Italian Inquisition. There was an Irish Inquisition. And, you know, we still have all those memorabilia of all that through the church and people have it in front of them today and we still go to church. So we have to be able to forgive, first of all.
Yeah, okay.
And secondly, I think it's very important, like, for me personally, this in terms of my father, growing up with Airfix soldiers and having the German army and the you know, different armies and playing with soldiers as an eight-year-old kid, you think of them as Germans, but they're not. They're Nazis. The Nazis were in Austria. They were all over the place. Mm-hmm. They weren't Germans. We have to get rid of that, you know. It was a group of people in Germany, like America today. We could say there's Nazis in America and America's Nazi. No, it's not. You know, it's not. And it's clearly not. So we have to be very careful about who we brand as fascists and Nazi.
Okay, Tom.
And I think
Tom,
we have to be very careful about fascism.
Joe, bear in mind, we all know the curious incidents of our esteemed Eamon de Valera to the German people on the death of Hitler.
The African dogs. But Tom, you mentioned Mao. I don't know whether I've been shown the website while people were talking there. Part of the website has the Mao story, okay? And it reads as follows, Mao goodness. It's nothing about Mao at all. It says, at Mao, our creative chef's been marrying the right flavors, fresh and green, 20 years.
Perfecting. Unless Mao in Mandarin Chinese has a meaning of
delicious
taste or something, but I don't think so.
Connor Steed, Connor, 51551, my chance. Connor, your point, please, listening to Vladimir.
Hi, Joe.
Good, thanks.
How are you? Joe, basically, Vladimir, you should listen to him and the likes more often because at the same time as we hear the likes of pure evil from Nazism, there's pure evil from communism. Mm. At the end of the day, though, it's people who do these things through thoughts and through the wrong thoughts or the right thoughts or whatever way they think. I've always led to believe the likes of Stalin in particular, he was raised to be an Orthodox priest at one stage.
Yeah, studying,
so
wasn't he?
Studying, he was. So as far as I'm concerned, he's the nearest form of a fallen angel as there ever will be on this planet. It's a strange one to think, but he's been responsible for millions upon millions. Unfortunately, I'm talking about people's statistics of deaths and famines and people being murdered, executed in prison and slaughtered by the likes of Hitler and the likes of Stalin. Stalin from before in the 30s, Jewish people in the 30s were killed by Stalin or starved as well, especially in Ukraine. As well as that, before he even died, he was starting to turn on Jewish people yet again because he felt he didn't trust them. He didn't trust anybody, needless to say. But this man was a human being turned into one of the most evil people.
Yeah, but remember, Connor, at the end of the Second World War, Hitler was killed and reviled.
I understand,
but Stalin was seen as the saviour of the motherland.
Yes,
possibly.
And at the time we didn't know that. I agree, and you're correctly right. And of course, the Americans and the British and the empires as such at the time actually did side with Stalin, and they had to. And I agree with that as well. But however, they were possibly ignorant.
I'll let you back in a sec, Tom. Let Connor finish, sorry.
They were possibly ignorant of the amount of genocide and the evil portrayal of what he was doing to his people in for his way of thinking. Whereas, go on, sorry.
Would you see anyone today as being a descendant, so to speak, politically and
in the world?
Yeah, as of Stalin.
There's always a Stalin and a Napoleon. Vladimir is nothing like that. Vladimir is just—he's showing memorabilia. The reason why I'm
not our Vladimir. I'm talking about Vladimir Putin.
Oh,
sorry,
Vlad the Bad, I call him. I actually don't particularly. I don't look. I'm not a Russian person. I mean,
but what do you think?
I think he's dangerous.
Yeah, but he said Vladimir Putin said yesterday when he was asked about the poisoning of that Russian dissident Navalny, isn't it? He said we didn't do it because if we did do it, we would have finished him off.
Oh well, I didn't hear that yesterday. That doesn't surprise me. What the man comes out.
Well, anyway, maybe that's something that Trump would say about a different person. I don't know. Vladimir in Dublin's Vladimir. You were going to come in there. Sorry.
I was just going to say that he. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I just want to say that Putin in Russia, he wants to, for Russian people, he wants to look like Stalin, like a strong man, everything in control, army, strong police, like he's building police there. So they, even at now, they when the Soviet Union collapsed, they removed all the monuments of Stalin. But now in some places in Russia, they're building again, they're putting again monuments, Stalin
That's
monuments
right,
and all that crap, you know.
I know that. And unfortunately, Vladimir, I've also heard that some of the schools are actually starting to say that how great and wonderful Stalin
was.
Yes,
they're rewriting history books and they say that Stalin is great. And
Tom, did you want to come back in there?
Yeah, my last chip in, Joe.
Okay.
It's worth remembering what the Allies did at the end of the Second World War. So certainly in coming to the conclusion of it, they bombed the hell out of northern German cities when there was no military advantage whatever.
Dresden, killing tens of thousands.
True. And also, when the war was over, they sent prisoners back to the Soviet Union and back to Yugoslavia, knowing they were sending them to their death for political expediency, tens of thousands.
Okay, Tom. Kate is in Dublin. Kate, your point, please.
Well, I think there's been loads of very good points made there, and there's just endless evil and wrongdoing and horrific murders going on all the time. The only thing is that I would make a distinction for the Jewish Holocaust.
Okay.
Because they were identified specifically as a race. More than religion, it was a race, because even Jews who converted to Christianity, who had people who were half Jewish, they were rounded up as well. And so I think it's really important not to lose sight of that. And to, the fact that that happened should make us as passionate as everybody is about Mao, about what's happening, for example, to the Rohingya in Myanmar. You could list them out forever and ever.
And China and the Uyghurs.
And everything. And even the,
Do you have a position on Irish shops? Not just Vladimir, and fair play to him for coming on when the listener spotted him, but do you have an issue about the sale of memorabilia in his window?
Well, I don't. I think it's better not. I don't think they should be sold because people who, a collector. But why does someone want to collect Nazi symbolism? I mean, maybe it could be if they're collecting it so that we'll never forget the horrors.
Yeah, but
I doubt that.
Yeah, but
because they're collectors.
But if you
so
go,
I think, but there would be people who would be collecting it to sort of glorify it and to use.
Well, what do you think of Tom Crowe's point? About we've a chain of restaurants in Ireland called Mao.
Yeah, I think that's.
And the Mao, when you look on the website, it says the Mao story, and you start reading about their brilliant chefs.
Yeah, Yeah.
Which I'm sure is true.
I think originally they might have had Mao Zedong in the frame, all right. They might have had him.
That's a vague.
I have a vague memory of
there being pictures
of Mao there. And then as they became aware, they removed those and changed the story. Why not change the name of the chain? Get something equally catchy and short and so on. But anyway, I'd say it's just commercial.
Well, what do you think of Vladimir selling an original copy, it's in English, but it's from the 1930s, of Mein Kampf?
Well, I'd say that's a very much a niche purchase. Mm.
But
it wouldn't be used in the same way as a badge, I think. A badge could be sewn onto somebody's clothes and used when they're at a demo or something. You know, and to justify, I mean, people use the Nazi symbol to justify all sorts of activities. And I mean, one of the, you know, there's a sort of a piling onto bandwagons that happens. Mm. I mean, one of the things at the moment that I think is really dangerous and bad is the anti-vaccination people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like shouting at them, do you want children to start dying again of measles? That's what happens. But anyway, that's getting away.
Yeah,
because
how are you linking them? How are you linking the anti-vaxxers to Nazis?
Well, because there are maybe some people who will get onto any kind of bandwagon like that.
Do you know Easton sell Mein Kampf? You can get a brand new copy of Mein Kampf in English for less than a tenner on the Easton's website.
I think Mein Kampf is not going to be used in the same way as a badge. Okay, you know, people could buy it and read it for intellectual curiosity or whatever.
Yeah, true.
But I think the issue of a badge is different. It's a very, very potent symbol.
And what do you think of that, Vladimir? Kate is saying, well, Kate, are you objecting to them being in the window?
Well, yeah, why have them in the window? I mean, what's the reason to have them in the window?
Presumably
Presumably
Vladimir, I'm sure you have thousands of items in your antique shop, but why put the Nazi ones in the window?
Because it's a small product. Like, I don't want to leave small things at the back of my shop because they can be stolen or there are thieves around. So I keep all the
Dublin.
Best stuff kind of. There are a lot of thieves that can steal that stuff, you know. So I keep them in front because my counter is well very close to the window. So I'm kind of as a security man as well. I'm, you know, trying to keep them protected.
And have you had stuff stolen, Vladimir?
All the time.
Oh,
that's
no.
Part of the business.
Like
that's
what? What are they stealing?
I don't even know, but I know that there are things.
You know they're gone.
Like, anything that they can take, they will take, you know.
Of course, that's the opportunistic
shoplifter,
Let's go back to history again, because people are fascinated by history. Thanks, Kate. Kate is in Dublin.
Okay.
God bless you, Kate, and happy Christmas. Dirk Decline. Dirk.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Listening to this discussion on history and who should be memorialised and who shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with selling the Nazi memorabilia because, like the lady said, it might get into the wrong hands and might be used for the purposes we really want to use it for. But having said that, though, I don't think we should be burying our history either. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happening a lot nowadays. Now, I had the, I suppose, fortune to interview a Holocaust survivor and also some Holocaust survivors' children, and the stories they tell you, it's just amazing. The person I spoke to, he was a survivor, Eddie Boas. He survived Bergen-Belsen, and himself and his family were the only family intact to survive Bergen-Belsen. And when you hear the stories, He was still a toddler when he was liberated, so he doesn't have an awful lot of details, and he kind of tucked it away in his mind a small bit as well because he wanted to move on. He didn't want to be reminded of the Holocaust all the time, but lately he's been coming out and he's been talking a bit more, And he wrote a book as well called I'm a Survivor, Not a Victim, which is a great book. But the stories he told that what they had to do to survive. And, of course, Bergen-Belsen wasn't necessarily meant as an extermination camp, but it was a horrible place. People died there of diseases, of course. Anne Frank died there as well, and her sister. And so it's,
I wonder,
a lot of people don't know. I'm not sure if you know, Joe, but the Holocaust, of course, the main group killed were Jews, about 6 million. But there were other groups as well. For instance, Freemasons were killed as well during the Holocaust.
Of course, yeah, and people who were deemed mentally defective, my God.
Yeah, yeah, and there's the T4 program. That is an awful, that's with euthanasia, where they killed. Well, it didn't take much for you to be deemed as disabled or mentally disabled.
Good
even
gosh,
someone
yeah.
who had... was depressed.
So do you want to crystallize your are you objecting to Nazi memorabilia being on sale?
Yes and no. If you want to sell it, you have to make sure who you sell it to. And that's if you you could sell it to museums, you could sell it to genuine people who have a genuine interest in World War II. But I've seen too many of these memorabilia show up on neo-Nazi websites or neo-Nazi groupings, and that's where my issue lies. If you want to sell, fair enough, but you have to make sure you sell it to the
right
people.
Okay, well, Vladimir, is there any way of ensuring that who you're selling it to? You there? Is that someone in the shop? Oh, his customer's great. That's good.
Hello.
Vladimir, is there any way you can find out, or you ask even, or inquire, who is buying, if they're buying Nazi memorabilia? Do you ask them any questions?
Not really, but sometimes I met some weird people, you know, they look weird, but I never asked them, you can't really follow them home.
I know, but what do you mean they look weird?
No, they talk weird. They have some maybe strange tattoos on their faces or something, you know.
And have you ever said, no, I'm not selling you that Nazi?
No, not really. Well, it's not my business. I don't know what they're doing with those medals at home. You know, they're wearing them at home or they just put them in their cabinet or, you know, I don't know. It's not my really business.
Yeah, I understand. Dirk, did you want
to... I can understand, Vladimir, that you want to sell the things. And I have to commend them as well that he actually came on here, because a lot of people would be very aggressive against him, towards him, I suppose. But when he says, sometimes he sees people coming in with strange tattoos. I can guess what kind of tattoos they would be. I would not sell anything to them in relation to Nazi memorabilia, because they will use it for purposes, which not for historical purposes, but only for to further their own cause, and that's what would bother me with those things. So, as for the Mein Kampf, I don't think that the sale should be banned of Mein Kampf, because if anyone actually reads the book, you'll find out how boring it actually is. I have read it when I was younger in the Netherlands, and it is a boring book. But having said that, if the powers that be in that time would have read the book, properly read the book, and would have followed up on some things that happened in the 1930s, then we wouldn't be talking now about the Holocaust, I suppose, because it was kind of, everything was with a blind eye. They turned a blind eye to everything. Mm-hmm. All the things that Hitler said in Mein Kampf, actually, he did do. But that's probably the value of that book. You can look back as a historical reference and you can see,
you mentioned the Netherlands, again, a country invaded and again a significant resistance, but also collaboration with the Nazis. Is Nazi memorabilia, can that be sold in the Netherlands?
I'm in Ireland now since 97. I think there's a law against it, but having said
we'll find out. Vladimir, have you got customers in the shop there? Where's he gone? Okay, I'll take a break. I'll come back to Vladimir after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
See, some people are objecting that Donald Trump's name was used in the comes up in the discussion. But like, here's a man who lost an election who says he's won the election. Here's a man that the New York Times, I think this week, called a demagogue because he won't accept the verdict of the people. One of our foremost historians, Dermot Ferriter of UCD, he said that he called Trump a demagogue in November. So we'll have a free discussion, hopefully. Wolfgang, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
How are you? What do you think of this discussion and the fact that this is this memorabilia is for sale in central Dublin?
To be quite honest, I don't know what the discussion is about. I mean, let's put it this way. What would you achieve if it didn't sell it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if it's for a collector, I mean, let him have it. Or,
okay.
Why hide from history? I mean, it's not a nice part of history, but it is history, you know?
But in Germany, can you buy Nazi memorabilia?
No, you can't.
In Germany, can you display a photograph of Hitler anywhere on a poster, newspaper, magazine cover?
No, you can't. You can't buy Mein Kampf either. You know, it's outlawed.
So if it's good enough for Germany, why isn't it good enough for here?
Well, maybe because, well, I mean, I don't even know whether it's right that you can't buy it in Germany, to be honest.
But it is. No, it is. You are correct. My understanding is you are correct. I don't know.
I don't understand why it's not being sold in Germany. I think it's because of the history.
I think that's
why they probably are reluctant to sell it.
Okay. And as Wolfgang, you tell a story here in your call about being in Stockholm in Sweden.
Yeah, I was walking through the streets of Stockholm and I stopped outside a shop and I saw all kinds of symbols from different countries, like the Opera House in Sydney, the Tower Bridge in London, the Statue of Liberty, and so on and so on. And in the middle of all that was little Adolf Hitler and a swastika flag. And I thought, that can't be right. I mean, I took great exception to that, to be honest.
They had the Nazi symbol superimposed on the Tower Bridge, the Eiffel Tower, and the Sydney Opera House, the Statue of Liberty, and the Colosseum.
No. You saw all those different symbols, I mean, some like little models, and in the middle of all that, for Germany, there was not the Brandenburg Gate or whatever. Instead, there was Hitler and the swastika flag.
And did you say something to the owner of the shop?
I was out of my head. I went in there and I complained bitterly, you know, but look, he probably thought, another German, you know.
That was a reaction. Here's another German, Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Houlihan, stay there if you could, please. Tom Houlihan, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
Good. Nazi memorabilia and history.
Yeah, I deal in First World War memorabilia mostly, Joe.
Okay.
But my point is this. A vast majority of Nazi memorabilia on sale today is fake.
Okay.
As opposed to First World War stuff. There's so much First World War stuff which doesn't have to be fake. But Iron Cross is first class. Excuse me, second class, third class, they're fake. And it's very, very hard to tell the difference. So a lot of that stuff is fake.
And why is most of the Nazi stuff fake? Does that mean they...
Because it's rare, Joe. The original stuff is very rare.
Why is it so rare?
Because of the regime, because of what it was, it's collected and it's hoarded. So if anything original comes up... I give you an example.
Okay.
A man tried to sell me a brass compass 6 months ago in the market. You screw the top of it off, and it's a beautiful compass.
Okay.
But it engraved on that was Deutschland SS, and it named the officer.
Okay.
Now, I knew the minute I looked at that it's a fake. I just knew a fake. And I checked him out. He was in Dachau as a camp guard.
Yeah.
And then he went up the ranks. And he was horrendous. He was part of what's called Einsatzgruppen.
These
people, you know what they are. But the vast majority of that is fake. The Nazi memorabilia, a lot of it is fake.
But Tom, hang on. How did you know the brass compass was a fake?
I know a fake, though. It's most fake.
So hang on, let me come out another way. Are you saying somebody picked out this name from a history book, engraved it on the brass compass, and he was an SS man or whatever, and so he or she could sell it saying that is a genuine Nazi memorabilia because you get more money for it?
Absolutely, yes. Wow. It's done all the time. It's done all the time, Joy. Especially with iron crosses. Especially with iron crosses, our Nazi daggers.
Okay, and what First World War memorabilia do you have?
Connacht Ranger. I collect a lot of Connacht Ranger if I can get it. You know, okay. Documents, postcards, medals. But I have some family in the Connacht Ranger, so...
And what about letters, which are so valuable?
I have 700 letters from German soldiers, but it's from the First World War.
Wow. And where are they? Sorry, you have them in your collection?
They're thrown in a box in one of my collections there.
And where did you find them, Tom?
I bought them years ago. I got them handy for a few pounds. I didn't know about the war because they were in German.
But where? Where did you buy them?
In a shop. In a shop.
In Ireland?
In a second-hand shop, yeah.
Wow. And have you got them translated?
Some of them I have. A few of them I did, Joe.
And
a few of them I did.
Tell us.
And it's German soldiers talking to their families of conditions, what it's like. Some of them are drawn maps, you know. I have letters from Scottish soldiers talking about how they escaped in the First World War. Escape letters are very rare. I have a lovely letter from a Scottish soldier talking. He's looking for his friend after the war and he's telling him how he escaped and how they were caught. That kind of stuff, you know.
And is there anywhere in Ireland where you, that would, well, I know you're obviously, you buy them, so you have to sell them, and but, like, is there anywhere in Ireland that would take those letters? Like, they sound to me extraordinarily valuable.
There probably is, yeah. There probably is, Joe. You know.
I'll say
now, there's letters there as well from the Second World War, from German soldiers, Second World War, but they're just letters going to their families.
Okay, and did you say your father was in World War II?
My father was around the 5,000, Joe. He was in the Irish Army.
Yeah.
And one night he came for a drink into Galway, into Weir Square, with a few friends. And there was three or four girls from the Cladda. And they were running after a kitten in Weir Square. And they couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
And my father got up, he ran with the Irish Army cross country. And he grabbed the kitten and he went over, put his hand out, my mother put her hand out. That's how they met.
Yeah.
But he came back for a date one night a few months later. And my grandmother told him, she's gone to England. Bill, Peg has gone to England. So he went straight to the barracks, told the guard he forgot his wallet, packed the case, threw it out over the back wall, got a bus to Oma, I think it was Oma, or in the Skilling, sorry, and he joined the British Army, and he was seconded to the Airborne Division. But he ended up a sapper.
Sapper again. Where did he see action?
Iraq, Joe. He was actually bodyguard to King Abdullah of Iraq for a short period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And was it called Iraq then, or was it called Persia?
Oh, I know. It was Mesopotamia. Could it be Mesopotamia,
yeah. Okay.
You see? Go on. Yeah.
So your father... Like there was a group, and a lot of people regard them as very honourable, of Irish soldiers or Irish people who enlisted in the British Army deliberately to fight against Hitler.
Right. There were some people who fought there. The Irish Legion, Irish something, I forget them. I have a list of them.
And they were badly treated here, weren't they?
They were, yeah. But my father was badly treated. When he came back, he couldn't get a job.
Because he'd been in the British Army during World War II.
Yeah, and my mother went to a Catholic priest and she said to him, and his answer to my mother was, well, he made his bed, let him lie in it.
Oh, God. This was a priest.
And what my mother said to him was, she said, I'll have a job for him before the week is out. And the priest said to him, and I won't name the priest, how are you going to do that, ma'am? And she said to him, I'll go to the Father and the Minister. And she did. And he had a job with Joe within a week. Okay. But there was a bear on Irish soldiers coming back. An unofficial bear.
Unbelievable. David King, stay there. Joe at RT.ie. David King.
Yep, hello, Joe.
You are an antique shop owner. Would you sell Nazi memorabilia?
Well, my father owned a shop before me and we have sold it. It's been very popular, very collectible.
Okay, come again. What's very collectible?
That sort of stuff is very collectible nowadays, Nazi memorabilia.
But would you sell it?
I don't sell it myself anymore now.
Why not?
Actually, there's bits of reproduction stuff now. There's that man was saying beforehand. There's a lot of that reproduction, Nazi daggers and the Luger guns and there's things like that now.
But come out another way, Joe, to David. David, is Nazi memorabilia more valuable than British Army memorabilia, for example?
Well, to different
more
people,
expensive?
Well, not necessarily, because a lot of medals. The First World War stuff is still very valuable, some of the stuff, you know. But the Nazi, there is people that specialize in the Nazi stuff. They'll pay a lot of money for it.
Hmm.
We too had some letters from Germany, and they had been when we were sent out. They were, was it before they were sent to the people, the authorities looked at them and took words out they didn't like or whatever.
Right. And what type of antiques and curios do you sell?
A bit of everything now, to be honest with you. And the last probably year now, everyone seems to be building these bars in their houses and that. So I sell lots of that sort of stuff now. The old enamel signs and Guinness signs and stuff like that.
Okay. But would you, if you were offered Nazi memorabilia, would you buy it?
I don't really want to, you know. Sometimes there's people that still look for it, though, you know. People ring me up and ask me if we've got it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was also telling the lady beforehand where the money boxes now that I don't sell anymore because they can be regarded as quite racist, you know.
The what? Which money box? Which money boxes?
They were very popular for a time. It was like an Uncle Sam money box.
Okay.
And they were popular back. They were back in America back in probably 1900s, and they were reproducing them massively. And we were selling them here in our shop, and they were quite offensive.
I explain that because of the color, is it? They were offensive.
Well, yeah, and they had the word on the back of it that was not supposed to be said, like, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. God. Yeah. Okay.
So I took like when my father was in the shop, but I took them all off sale now earlier on this year. I just don't like the idea of it.
Okay. Okay. Are you busy there now, Vladimir? He's gone again.
Yes, I am. Yes, Joe.
Okay. And you open 7 days a week?
Just in December, 7 days, but other during the year, 6 days.
6 days. Okay, good man. And how's the shop going generally?
I'm not complaining. We're very. Okay. I would say we are very popular.
Okay. Yeah, what were you doing before you set up the auntie? You said you set up.
I did. I've been in Ireland for 20 years. I've been doing many different things, working in construction, doing lettings, state agency, studying different things.
Okay. So you're well settled in Ireland.
Oh yeah, I am. Yes.
And
20 years. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Have you been back to the Ukraine?
Yeah,
in the
every year. Every year I travel there. Yeah.
And how's Ukraine doing at the moment?
You know, our big neighbor
Russia
wouldn't let us go. You know, so the main problem is our big neighbor that fights, grabs the land from us, fights with us. So it's very hard for Ukraine to set free. You know,
and shoots down airlines. And what do you think of Vladimir Putin?
I hate him. You know, so like he's a monster. You know, his last action that he tried to poison that guy, and that guy. If I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, there is a full documentary now. They found out who tried to poison him, the names of the agents, everything.
Novichok, yeah.
Yeah, Novichok, yeah. So you can, you know, and he's still denying that guy. He's always lying. If you listen to him, the Russians are always nice and the rest of the world are bad that wishes to take over Russia. And, you know, they always tell their own people that America is our main enemy, you know. That we need to protect our motherland against Americans, you know. I don't like him, you know. He's evil. He killed thousands of people, even shooting this airplane and still denying that, you know.
The Malaysian aircraft, yeah. And Vladimir, in Ukraine, because Russia would they not have settled a lot of Russians in Ukraine as they did in Latvia and Lithuania?
Yes. For example, my mother, she's not Russian, she's Belarus, but she's been speaking Russian language all her life. And they in Russia, they try to show that in Ukraine there are some problems with Russian speaking people. Or so. My mother never had any problems. She speaks Russian. I went to Russian school. Half of my friends are speaking Russian. Never any language problems in Ukraine. There's no such thing as language problem in Ukraine. It's a total lie. You know, it's bilingual countries. Some people speak Ukrainian, some speak Russian, but they understand each other perfectly well, you know.
Okay, Vladimir, it's good to talk to you. And David King, and you too, many more of them. And Tom Houlihan, also. Tom is in Galway. 51551, Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Joe! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. Christina's in County Meath. Go ahead, Christina. Nazi memorabilia again.
Yes, Joe. Good afternoon to you. I was just listening to the show when Vlad was selling his Nazi memorabilia in Dublin, and I was reminded how symbolic it is for hate speech and for hate doing. I don't know if you remember the Columbine shooting.
Of course,
in the United States, and one of the young child who perpetrated that crime, he had Nazi memorabilia on his walls and on his computer. It was found on his laptop, and also they deliberately targeted April 20th, which is Hitler's birthday, to perpetrate the crime. So it is very symbolic, and I was just thinking about Vlad and making those sales. I think that Nazi memorabilia is okay, you know, in theatre or in the movies, but really, if it's worn or if it's to depict hatred as a symbol of hate, then I'd have a problem with it being sold just off the shelf, if you like.
Yeah, and I just. Yeah. One of the things about the Nazi memorabilia and the Columbine murders is that I think one of the parents knows it, but they didn't take much heed of it. Let me bring Pat. Say there, Christina.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Yeah,
Klebold and Harrison. That name. Patrick. Nazi memorabilia.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah. Off you go.
Yes, you.
You have. I see your card. We have Nazi medals, armbands. Are you a collector?
I am a collector of military memorabilia, and I specialise in German Nazi and Holocaust memorabilia.
Okay. And
what I was saying to you, researcher, was that somebody like me who is buying the genuine article and spending a lot of money on it for historic purposes, that if somebody wants to use it in a far right or neo-Nazi situation, they won't buy the original medals, flags, whatever, from Vladimir if Vladimir is selling original stuff, because it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go on the internet, Google in Nazi memorabilia, and you would be flooded with reproduction stuff at fractions of the price.
And how much is the? How expensive is the real Nazi stuff, so to speak?
It can be absolutely into the tens of thousands of euros, dollars. If any of your listeners or you yourself are interested, there's two auctions coming up in America tomorrow, in American time, one in New York through Invaluable, and one, I think it's Pennsylvania, and they will be selling lots of Nazi memorabilia. They will be selling Holocaust memorabilia. Mm-hmm. And this Holocaust memorabilia, people will say, you know, what's this? This is stuff that the actual Jewish people who came out of the concentration camps brought it with them as maybe a reminder or historic reasons.
And who
I have it. I have letters, Joe. I have letters written from concentration camps by inmates to their loved ones in America or to requesting whatever, and written in different languages. That is genuine history.
Okay.
And the other side of it, the Nazi side of it, is the people who orchestrated all of this. That is the history of it.
But when you say you collect, you don't collect it to wear it, do you, Patrick?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, some people do.
Yeah. Well, these are your far right, these are your neo-Nazis, or friends. Mr. Trump would have a lot of those allies, and he, as you know, he stores them up. But genuine people, as I'm saying, genuine people who go into Vladimir's shop, and Vladimir, a lot of the East European people, he sounds East European, would have great history of the Second World War. And they are huge collectors, again, of Second World War memorabilia.
Okay. And what's the most expensive piece you've ever bought?
In the thousands.
For what?
For silver, for medals that would be very rare, that would not have been given out that often. You get your very regular medals, but you have your Deutsches Cross in gold or Deutsches Cross in silver. I specialise really in Panzer memorabilia, and that's quite expensive.
Okay.
I might buy something that would have I might buy a medal that would have the envelope that would be signed by a particular general for this Panzer driver, engineer, gunner, or whatever he was. And I'd have his story. So I can pick up his medal or any medal and say, this belongs to this group of Nazis. They weren't all evil people. Some of these kids were only
they were conscripted in.
When Hitler Youth, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, that's Patrick and Cork. Go to Mina Margaret of Warwick, 51551 Washington.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.